Right, our reading will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "While Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?' They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, sir.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. And from now on, do not sin again.'" All right. Amen. Now, I want you to put your Bible or your device down. Put your Bible device down. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Don't touch him. Turn to your neighbor. But I just want you to just hug yourself. As you turn to your neighbor, make eye contact with somebody. Hug yourself. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, I have value. Neighbor, I have value." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I Have Value." What we are faced with today is that God has blessed us to see another year.
Amen.
On the stroke of midnight on January 1, this past Monday, the Lord allowed us to transition from 2017 to 2018. And now that the Lord has blessed us to be in church on the first Sunday of this new year, we have a lot to thank God for. Because there were some folk who saw January 1, but they ain't see January 7. And now that we're here, we have to learn how to take advantage of what God has blessed us to see. Because it's truly a blessing to recognize that we are in this year. You know, and then when we look back over where the Lord has brought us from, we look back at what we've come through. We look back at our struggles. We look back at our shortcomings. We look back at even at 2017. Some folk want to take that new year resolution and don't want to do something different. And then every year they keep doing the same thing, and then same thing still happening. Amen. Because they're saying stuff. But the one thing I want us to understand as a people of God, you have value. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I want you to know, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm not a paper plate. I'm going to have to break that down. I know I am. Paper plate. I am not a paper plate. See, my Jersey accent comes out every now and then. Brother Armstead, and I talk a little fast. I got to catch myself, but I am not a paper plate. A lot of folk in here know what paper plates are. Because a lot of folk eat off of paper plates. The reason why we eat off paper plates, y'all, is what? We don't like washing all them dishes. The bigger the family, the more suds you got to bust. So we have gotten to the point where to save on the suds, but I want you to know the plates ain't free. Somebody behind them. But the one thing that's interesting, Anita, about paper plates is that once you use a paper plate, once you put that tater salad and collard greens and chicken on it and cornbread and corn pudding, mac and cheese, hot malt chitlin, and them plates get good and greasy. Once you finish eating, what do you do with that plate? You why? Because the plate is disposable. It has, you have utilized it for what it was valued for. And once you've utilized it now and you no longer need it, what do? You throw it away. But I want you to know, we are not paper plates. Because I want you to go to this story with me, and it's going to help you understand why we aren't paper plates. But sometimes folk will get it twisted and try to make us to become paper plates. Because when we look at this particular story, here in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, from verses 1 through 11, we have the story. And how the story starts? Jesus, Reverend Dab, is going to the temple. And when he went to the temple, everybody heard Jesus was coming to the temple to teach Bible study. Utilize my imagination with me. Work with me. It's okay. All right. That Jesus was there to teach Bible study, and everybody wanted to hear what he was teaching. Because every time Jesus teaches something, folk get a lot out of it. They're growing from it. They've heard stuff they haven't heard other rabbis. So whenever Jesus comes, Reverend Rhodes, everybody is there. So there were a lot of people there in the temple. But while Jesus was making his way to the temple, there was a woman off with a man who was not her husband or her fiance. You see, a few moments of pleasure can create a whole bunch of stuff to happen that we ain't too pleased about. So while Jesus was making his way to the temple, this woman was with this man. And they got caught. And as they got caught, the sister girls in here right now are a little perturbed. Sisters, you know why y'all are perturbed? Tell folk why y'all perturbed. Where is the man? See, I got it started. And it went there. In order to be caught in the act of adultery, you got to have. So why is there only one? Can I give you the biblical context behind maybe why this might be? I cannot say for sure that this is the case. But let me explain it to you this way. If a man is married and a woman is married, and they're not married to each other, and they get caught in the act of adultery, Deacon Faulkner, they both are stoned. Okay? They both are stoned. Now, if a woman is engaged, Brother Mo, and she messing around with a dude who is not her fiance, and she get caught, they take him. They put a dry towel around his neck and a wet towel, and they end up killing him by choking him. Now you understand it, right? But the woman is still brought and is to be stoned. So, but I don't know if this was that scenario. Brother Rand, we don't have enough information. But the reality of this situation is that this woman was a pawn in this situation. The scribes and the Pharisees had a game that they were playing, trying to hoodwink Jesus. And in the same time, she was just the pawn that they were using. Quote, unquote, she was the paper plate. Are y'all working with me? Anybody in here ever felt like a paper plate? Where folk thought you were just disposable? I could use you for as long as I wanted, and once I was finished with you, I could just throw you away. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't no paper plate. Lord, you know, thank you for the good hearing that I'm hearing all this stuff going on behind me. So folk that are on this CD ain't going to hear this CD. I want y'all to know the choir is serious behind me, y'all. And a lot of them back up in there. Thank you, Lord. But let's keep going. Because there's something we have to learn. Now, can I use my imagination to paint this picture? As we paint this picture, imagine Jesus is in the temple court. He has all these people around him that he's teaching the word of God. He is helping them to gain knowledge and understand. And at the same time, they caught this woman. Then one of the scribes or Pharisees had a bright idea, Sister Fee. Let's use this situation so that we can make a fool out of Jesus. So let's take her to Jesus and let's say to Jesus that, listen, the law that Moses has given us tells us we're supposed to stone this woman. Now, we're gonna challenge him to see what he's going to say. Now, if he say that we're to stone her, then we're going to say you're a hypocrite because you talk about we're supposed to love sinners. If you say that we shouldn't stone her, then you are saying is that you can override the law of God that came to us from Moses. So they thought that they had Jesus in a catch. Are you working with me? They thought they had him in a catch 22. You know what they say? If you do, you're one way. And if you don't, you're one way. So Jesus was, they thought they had Jesus in a no-win situation. But I want you to understand something. This 3.5 pounds of gray matter can outthink God. Amen. Somebody go work with me? Amen. You see, I want you to understand. I don't care how intellectual, how intelligent you are not smarter than God. Amen. And what these brothers thought that they were was smarter than God. Amen. Because they figured if we bring her to him. Now again, go back to this picture. Jesus is teaching, Reverend Rose. And all this group just comes in. Excuse us, Jesus. Now, Jesus is teaching. They're going to just interrupt him. Jesus, we got this woman here with us who had committed adultery. We caught her in the very act. The law says we're supposed to stone her. What you say, Jesus? Now, once they said that, one of them did like this. Told you we got him now. We got him. And Jesus just knelt down and just kept writing in the dirt. Reverend Dab, I know in seminary they done shared some stuff with you like they shared with me about what the possibilities of what he was writing. Some say he was writing all of their names and identifying their sins. Some were saying he was just writing something else. But we don't know what Jesus was writing because the scripture doesn't make that plain. But you know what the reality is? I'm not concerned that he was writing, but I'm glad Jesus was there. Yeah. And when he was bent down, if you look at the scripture, it tells us in verse 7, they just kept on questioning him. Jesus, what are we supposed to do? What do you think? See, I told you he wasn't going to say nothing. He ain't all that, a bag of chips, 2 sodas, and a shake on the side. He don't know everything. How he going to call himself the Son of God? He's supposed to be knowing this and knowing that. I told y'all he was nothing. Wasn't nothing to him, Deacon Jones. That's why the fool is sitting down right now. Ain't got nothing to say because he ain't all that. He don't know what's supposed to do. He ain't really teaching y'all. All of y'all who are here listening to him, y'all ought to leave right now. Are y'all working with me?
Yes.
Now, when all that took place, the one thing I'm just so thankful about our God is that he could have tightened all them dudes up right then and there. Yeah. But you know, even when we act a fool, the Lord has been showing us grace. And you see, I want you to understand, even though they were not concerned about life preservation or preserving life, they were more concerned with taking a life to prove their point. They didn't care whether or not this woman died or lived. They just wanted to use her like a paper. So Jesus said, enough is enough. He stands back up. He turns to all them dudes. Paraphrasing. If any of y'all ain't ever mess up, if you ain't ever sin, go on and be the first to hit her with a stone. You see, when Jesus made that statement, in all actuality, what he was doing was putting a mirror in front of their faces, getting them to see themselves for who they were, getting them to see that what they were doing right now was that, you know, the thing is, they call themselves doing the right thing, but they're doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. They didn't have the right intent, nor did they care anything about this woman, nor were they concerned with what was the outcome was going to be. They was just trying to find a way to get Jesus painted in a corner and thought that he couldn't come out. But the one thing I want y'all to know about our God, when we think we are caught in a catch-22, that whatever way we go, it seems like we can't win. When you put your trust in God, I want you to know the Lord will make a new way out of no way. Do I know anybody in here who ever got caught up in a catch-22? Didn't think you was going to get out? Didn't think you had a way out? But didn't the Lord show you a way? Didn't the Lord give you away? Didn't the Lord bring you through? I'm telling you, we serve a mighty good God. Even when the deck is stacked up against you and it looks like you can't win, as long as you have Jesus, you already have the victory, because I ain't no paper plate. You ain't no paper plate. Jesus is about preserving life. Jesus is about blessing us. So what we're seeing, you know, I want you to know, Sister Davis, that when they had brought this woman to Jesus, some of them had some rocks in their hands. Some of them had a pouch with some nice rocks. The rocks they kept in the pouch, Brother Mo, those were called their killer rocks. You know, and I got some killer rocks in here for her. But what's Jesus? Put the mirror in their faces. They couldn't even look at themselves. And all they did was drop the rocks. And they just had to turn and walk away. But during this whole ordeal, can you imagine, Brother Walter, what's going on in the mind of this woman, knowing that she is here because of what she made a decision to do? And now with tears flowing from her eyes, not just the scribes and the Pharisees, no, but all those that are there in the temple court with Jesus, knows what she has done. Arnetta, she feels worthless, humiliated, and she's probably just saying, go on and just kill me now. I know what's supposed to happen. Let it happen. Because right now, I don't see myself as nothing but a paper plate, because I allowed myself to get soiled in the sin. And since I allowed myself to get soiled into sin, what I'm about to get, even though I don't want it, I'm getting it because I made some choices. And because of my bad choices. I'm about to die where I am, and everybody around me knows it. I could see this sister just standing there with her head bent over, tears just flowing, just covered in a garment, not able to look up or say a word because she's about to get what she deserves because of some decisions that she has made. I am a paper plate that is about to be disposed of for some decisions I made. That's where her head was. That's how she was feeling. How many folk are in church right now feeling like paper plates? That you have done some stuff and you feel like I don't deserve more than what I am right now. And if I was to get struck down right now, I would deserve it. Because I'm a paper plate who's made a mistake and I'm disposable. But I want you to understand something. I don't care how you might see yourself. I want you to see how Jesus sees you. Because when Jesus saw this woman, he saw a woman who was broken and who was in need of healing. He saw a woman who had made a mistake and did not need to have it held against her. He saw a woman who deserved a second chance. Because in our lives, I don't care who we are. I don't care how holy we are. I don't care how much scripture we can quote. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how well you can shout, sing. I want you to understand we still have all fallen short of the glory of God. We still have some things we struggle with. We still make some mistakes. And if it had not been for God's grace and mercy, where in the world would we be right now? You are not a paper plate. You are not disposable. You are important to God. I don't care what nobody say about you. The Lord loves you. How does he love you? Just the way you are. So Jesus, after she's standing there digging booth with tears just flowing, just waiting for that first rock to hit her. All of a sudden, all she hears, boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, she hears footsteps. And they're not getting closer. They're getting further away. She opens her eyes and she looks. They're gone. And then Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Then Jesus stood up, walked over to her, and he looked at her and what he says to her in verse number 10, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? You see how Jesus now deals with the dialogue with her? You see, I want you to know that the Lord wants to deal with us, even in the midst of our sin. But before he can deal with us in our sin, he got to get some folks straight who are around us who want to condemn us in our sin. Oh, somebody, I know it's kind of hard for us to understand. But what I want you to know is that Jesus doesn't want you to stay in that state of sin and thinking you are a paper plate that's about to be disposed of. The Lord wants you to know he wants to give you another opportunity. But before he can deal with you, he just got to get some folk out your way. I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants to deal with you and the mistake that you made, but the Lord got to get some folk out your way. And now that he done got them folk out the way, he deals with her. He asks her that question because now her eyes are open and she's trying to understand what has just taken place. And she said, there's no one here, sir. And you know what happens next? Jesus says to her, I don't condemn you. Did y'all hear that? Jesus says to her, I don't condemn you. So in all actuality, Jesus is telling her, you are not a paper. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm the good China. Y'all know that China that's in y'all? China closet. That's on display. We that good China. We ain't disposable. You can keep using us over. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. Oh, I see. Oh, Lord, they about to sing it over and over. I understand. But listen to what is happening here. When Jesus says that to her, I don't condemn you. Some folk get it twisted. The reason why some folk get it twisted, because they think that Jesus is not concerned about sin. He is. He is concerned about sin. And we are never to get it twisted. Which means is this, when the Lord gives you another opportunity. Wait a minute, before I even say that, let's just go and read it. Because you see in verse number 11, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. He says, go your what? Way. And from now on, do not sin what? He is telling her, don't you go and do the same thing over again. Because you know what? If you do it again like you did it before, I want you to know you might not get a different, I might not get this outcome. So now that I've delivered you and brought you through, I want you to understand that you have value. And now that you understand your value, don't you dare go back and do the same thing. You see, my brothers and sisters, isn't that the thing that messes us up? Is that after we get delivered from that same thing, we go back and do that same thing over and over and over again, and we end up being stuck right where we are. We can't move the way we ought to move because we truly have not embraced what the Lord has for us, because the Lord wants you and I to know that we have. You see, I want you to understand something. You see, Violet, I want you to notice one thing. When you know that you were in a situation where you know you are guilty and there's witnesses to prove your guilt, and I want you to know the prosecutor ain't nobody but the devil, and all the devil wants to do is have you fired up. I want you to know you got a defending attorney working with you, and he might not look so great. But I want you to know he might not talk as eloquent as a prosecutor. But I'm so glad we have a defense attorney whose name is Jesus. He is our lily of the valley. He is our bright and morning star. He is our all in all. And I want you to know when Jesus is your defending attorney, even when they got you the rights to do what they want to do to you. But since Jesus is defending us, I want you to understand something. All Jesus does is look to the judge and say, Daddy, look at my hands. Daddy, look at my feet. Daddy, look at my side. You see, I paid the price for them. And I have delivered them. I have set them free. And when you look at the jury that's supposed to say that you are guilty, all the jury members did was just walked out the courtroom. And ain't nobody there left but you and your defense attorney whose name is Jesus. And what Jesus is telling you is to go and sin no more, because they couldn't condemn you and I'm not going to condemn you. And now that you have been set free, and whom the Son has set free, I can see when that sister girl left that situation. Sister Davis, she got her holy dance on. She wasn't expecting to see another day. She wasn't expecting to see another hour. But since God has blessed her, she had to get her dance on, because she know just how good our God is. She soon understood the power and the love of God. And God showed her that you have value. You are not a paper plate hope. You are the best china in the closet. You see, my brothers and sisters, when we come to the realization that we have value, then we understand that everything that we do is valuable to God. Do you know today was the first Sunday that we had the Broad Rock statement for giving? The whole purpose of that statement is for us to realize that there is value in our. And once we understand the value in our giving, we have to realize there's value in our worship. And the reason why girlfriend was worshiping was because the Lord has blessed her, brought her through danger seen and danger unseen. And she realized that since the Lord brought her through, she wasn't going to sit there and act like God ain't done nothing for her. And that's a message for us who are the people of God. You know the Lord has done some miraculous things in your life. You know the Lord has brought you a mighty long way. Others want to just push you away and just forget about you. But the Lord brought you back up out that miry clay. But you're going to sit up in church and act like God ain't done a whole lot for you. I'm here to tell you today, you ought to be praising and thanking God. Because God says you have value. And since you have value, why are you sitting there acting like God ain't done much for you? Why are you sitting there and acting like the Lord hasn't turned you around? Why are you sitting there saying, well, it didn't have to happen like this, but it's God's grace and mercy that brought you this far, that's taking you all the way. You've got a reason to give God the praise. Why? Because you have. Are you understanding me, brothers and sisters? Don't you dare let anybody treat you like a paper plate. They might have treated you like paper plates before. But the next time somebody try to devalue you, you go in and tell them, I ain't no paper plate. Are you working with me? Because some folk gonna still need to try to treat you like you are a paper plate. Tiffany, you gonna let them know, I ain't no. That's right. I'm the what? Good China. Anybody working with me? I'm not disposable. You're not gonna throw me out. The only one who can throw me out, he didn't. He's preserving me. You are preserved, my brothers and sisters. You are where you are for a reason. You ain't here at Broad Rock by happenstance, nor by luck or chuck. Even our sister that's visiting us because they didn't have church at their church, and I ain't going to call no church name. But I want you to know that you're not here by accident. God's got you here on purpose as well. I want us all to understand. We all have what? We all have what? And I am not a. Because we have what?
Value.
We have what?
Value.
You see, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what goes on. In this entire year, we're not going to let anybody treat us as though we are disposable. Because we are great and we are blessed and highly favored. The Lord has made us the way we are to do what we are doing. And we will not let anybody devalue us. We are way too important. And I'm here to tell you, even when you're out there reporting the news, somebody might say something, but that's all right. I know I have. I have. You see why I had you hug yourself from the beginning? Because I want you to know, if you can't hug yourself, can't nobody else hug you. Because their hug ain't going to mean nothing until you understand your hug means a whole lot. And the reason why you can hug yourself is because you know that you have what? Because the Lord is the one who could have condemned you. But what did he say? He didn't condemn you. He said, go your way and do not sin again. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, I am so thankful for God's grace and mercy and where God has brought us from and what God is doing in us. That's how come I just thank God the way we started off this service. Because when we came into this service, we said there's none like our God. There's no, nobody. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about all the Lord has done for you, when you think about where the Lord has brought you from, there's no way you'll ever come to church and act like it ain't a big deal. I want you to know every time you walk through that door, it is a big deal. Because, girl, I want you to know we ought to be praising God. We ought to be thankful to be here because the Lord has blessed us to do all the stuff we did out there, and he still kept us, and now we're in here. I got to give him the praise because I have.